Thank you, Joe. Welcome to rehab. Ushers, lock the doors, please. No, just kidding. Unfortunately, everyone in this room has abused this drug. We've all been users, and in fact, some have been users and even pushers. Sadly, some addicts can't live without it even for a day. This drug is destructive and has the potential to destroy people's lives and everyone that it comes in contact with. According to the National Survey on Drug Use and Health in the U.S., 21.5 million Americans over the age of 12 battled some kind of substance abuse problem back in 2014. The cost to the U.S. was close to $200 billion in health care, criminal justice, legal, and lost production in a workplace annually as far back as 2007. And according to more recent government reports, they're saying over the last decade that's increased to $1 trillion annually. The drug I'm talking about today is extremely costly. It's an epidemic in our society, and it's an epidemic in God's churches as well. It impacts the personal lives of everyone that it comes in contact with. The drug is euphoric, like most drugs, or I don't think there would be an attraction to it for the users. There's a desire for it. That's why people are drawn to it in the first place. It makes the user feel high. It makes them feel so good. It provides the user with a false sense of confidence and superiority and even power at times. It makes a person feel like they're walking on the clouds above everybody else. Like cocaine, this drug uses a razor to cut it before ingesting to get the high. But the razor used for this drug is known as the tongue. The high I'm talking about comes from the drug known as gossip. Turn to Psalm 64, verse 3. I'm going to read from the Good News Translation. Psalm 64, 3. They sharpen their tongues like swords or razors to aim cruel words like arrows. You know, brethren, our words can be very cutting and damaging to others. Gossip is that weapon that's used to inflict those wounds on others. And gossip, by its very nature, is cruel. There's no good intent through gossip. The intent is of the heart, and its words are piercing and they're dividing as well. The psalmist has it right in describing this as weapons, describing it as swords and arrows. And that's what gossip is. The question is, whose side are we on in this war? Whose side are we on in the war? Why do humans love to partake of gossip so much? You know, we love to speak it, we love to hear it. You know, it's because gossip is that high. There's a high that comes with this. And the high is in the speaking as well as the hearing. It makes the person feel good and superior by focusing on someone else's faults rather than on their own. It takes the focus off self. But even gossip by its very nature might not even be true. It could even be a lie. Most of the time, they could be rumors that are being spread and they've never even been witnessed by the person who's doing the gossiping. Could be pure hearsay. You know, you can identify gossip in a conversation. It has some attributes. First, it's never kind. Gossip is never kind. That's one of its attributes. Second is it's always negative. Also, beware in a conversation because gossip can take on a false persona as well. Could start something like this. Did you hear about poor so-and-so, what her husband is like, blah, 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 blah. Just fill in the rest of the story. But it can take that false persona at first that somebody really has this concern. So we need to be aware of that in a conversation. It's like sharing that dirty needle between drug users. It's spreading a bad disease. Another attribute about gossip is that it can be uplifting. Yeah, gossip can be uplifting. It downs one person in order to lift the other. It strokes the ego of the gossiper and it brings them up. Well, at the same time, it'll put down the other person. It becomes that self-exalting fix that the user is looking for. That's what the appeal of the drug is. It's that self-exaltation. It brings you up and it tears another person down. But that's what makes it so hard to stop when people get in that web of gossip. Gossip is often about having some special knowledge or appropriately called dirt on somebody else, isn't it? It's about being in the know about something about somebody else. And we as humans have that strange innate desire to want to know about what other people are doing, especially if they have problems. You know, our culture loves to have a story about notable and famous people. You notice that gossip isn't positive. If it were positive or uplifting, it wouldn't be called gossip, right? That's why it's called gossip. It's about that negative knowledge, and oftentimes it's not even true, as we said before. Do you think that most gossipers check the facts? Are gossipers usually fact checkers? I don't believe so. Gossiping can take on the form of many things, but if the story is untrue, the gossiper has now compounded their sin. So if it's untrue, it's become gossip, it's become lying, bearing false witness, and possibly even causing division. So now you've caused a compound sin on top of the original. You know, God hates division and gossip, and he doesn't expect that from God's children. So let's see what God hates in more details in Proverbs. Let's turn to Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven that is abominable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, the hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. That is a scathing and powerful scripture. Let's reread it and kind of look at each one of these things. Everything here can apply to a gossiper. Haughty eyes. That's through lifting up self by putting another person down. Haughty is a lack of humility. A lying tongue, not having facts and telling a tale. And hands that shed innocent blood. That's telling stories that assassinate a person's character. A heart that devises wicked plans, tearing down another person's reputation with the intent. Feet that make haste to run to evil. You can't wait to hear or tell another juicy story. A false witness who breathes out lies. Didn't witness anything, don't care to witness it, but I'm going to tell it anyways. One who sows discord among brethren. That could be hurting someone in your own family or even in the family of God by repeating a tale, especially if it hasn't even been validated. You know, brethren, the church is each of us, and we shouldn't be tearing each other down. We're supposed to take care of each other and not cannibalize each other through our verbal comments. It's human nature to want to be in on what's happening with others. And, you know, we have an entire industry in this country that's devoted to gossip, and it's the tabloid industry. The celebrity gossip industry is worth over $3 billion, and it's destructive, and it's negative, and it's actually against God's way. And I remember as a kid, my grandmother used to bring over, the magazine that has all the gossip in it, the National Enquirer, and it would be sitting on the table and everything, and I'd be looking at it, and I was like, what is this ridiculous thing? And I would throw it on the other side, then I'd go read my Mad magazine. So as a kid, I was only 12 years old, so that's it. But another ridiculous magazine. But you know, brethren, this whole industry is destructive. It's on TV shows, it's in magazines, it's in tweets, it's on YouTube. You know, it's so deeply embedded into our society, into the American culture. I think that it's so embedded that we don't even recognize it anymore. It's so prevalent, I think, that we forget that this information is harmful and it's negative to us as God's people. We've basically become numb to it and we don't even recognize it as gossip. That's exactly what our adversary, Satan the devil, wants us to do. He does not want us to recognize sin. These tabloid sources always have an inside story. It's mostly negative and innuendos and bad information about our celebrities and our politics. And we all have this curiosity, I mean, me included, about our favorite stars and musicians, especially for me. I like music. And our favorite politicians, if there is one such a thing. And perhaps even the best scoop on our favorite ministers or deacons as well, right? But we all have this strange desire to want to know what's going on in other people's lives. But here's the question. Are we the church tabloid? It's kind of funny, but true. Are we the church tabloid? Are we peddlers or pushers or even users of church gossip? Do we encourage it in our conversations? And these are all questions we should ask ourselves. We all have the power to listen or not to listen to a conversation. We all have the power to change the topic in a conversation. We all have the option, in extreme cases, to even walk away from a conversation. So life's all about options, isn't it? We can take any of those options. We don't have to partake of gossip when we see or hear something that is undesirable about others. We should all be interested in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a good thing as long as it's with a pure heart and a true love and a concern for our brothers and sisters in Christ. That would include positive speak about the person. It would also include adding them in your prayers if we know there is a problem. And it would also include not repeating a story about them, especially if it's going to ruin their reputation. We don't want to ruin anyone's good reputation. Character assassination is not a good thing. Sometimes we might know of a person's personal problem, but what's our approach to it? They're called personal problems for a reason, brethren, because they're personal. That's why they're called personal problems. Our job is to pray and encourage each other and to help each other. Just stop and help each other, not to judge the situation. I heard that from a pastor, and it always stuck with me. Our job is to just help and not to judge. Let's turn to Proverbs 17:9. He who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. That's the razor, separating friends. We don't want to do that. We want to conceal the matter and love our brother and help them through it. We should never repeat what the person shares with us intimately or confidentially as a friend. We should never repeat a rumor about others as well. Repeating rumors can only destroy friendships. If we haven't even witnessed something ourselves, how do we even know it's true? And sometimes when we see something, things are not always what they appear to be, even if you see that. You see, the gossiper has unwittingly fallen into Satan's trap. He's become Satan's dupe. Gossip and character assassination is one of Satan's key attributes. You know that? It's one of his key attributes. Let's make sure that's not one of ours. We can't let it be. He's one of the biggest originators and perpetrators of negative and degrading words, and he does it before the throne of God. His pinpoint focus is on you and me, God's people. We're his favorite target, and I don't think any of us want to be in that same class. We don't want to be a church tabloid. We don't want to be known as telegraph, telephone, tele, and place your name in there. I think most of us are striving to be more like Jesus Christ, and especially before we prepare for the Passover services this year. So we need to be aware and alert of our conversations and strive to speak about good and positive things about one another. What a change that is to this world. When they hear us speaking encouraging words and speaking positive about each other, you're going to stand out in this world because it's just turning to nothing but negative comments and gossip towards each other. It's just become the way of our society. It's in our culture. It's deeply embedded. People will notice you, and you'll be a light that God wants you to be. Revelation 12:10, I'll just read this real quick. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down." So, brethren, he is our accuser. The brethren should never be accusers of brethren. And for that matter, for any other people. We should not be accusing other people as well. Ephesians 4, 25 through 32. Ephesians 4, 25 through 32. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, or even about his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Gossip gives place to the devil. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Imparting grace is imparting favor. Grace is undeserved favor, to speak favorably about each other. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking, or gossip, be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Let's speak kindly, tender-heartedly, and giving that favor towards one another and towards other all people. Let's speak good things about each other. Make sure that we encourage the goodness of God in one another. As with any drug, the user comes down from their high eventually, don't they? The high doesn't last forever. And that includes gossip. It's called crashing. They come crashing off their high. The user comes crashing down, and once the high is over, they look for another high. Remember, gossip lifts the user up and puts the other person down. So they try to get another fix, another juicy story to tell. However, the real crash comes when the user gets caught in their gossip, when the other person finds out that the person was gossiping about them. You notice how people are always sorry after they get caught after the fact, all these politicians and everyone. But the same thing comes with the gossiper. How do you handle it? Now the person knows that you told some very bad stories about them, whether they're true or not, or half-truths. You know, that victim's reputation could be hurt very badly by your innuendos, your lies. Again, they could be lies. And even if it is a truth, that person could be struggling desperately to change with something, and you could have discouraged them so much through talebearing that they might not be able to come out of that sin. You don't want to be that talebearer. Have any of us repeated something that we shouldn't have? I think we all know that answer. It's in James 3:8. I'll just read it real quick. James 3:8. But no man, no person, can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So all of us have partaken of this at one time or another. I think if we're old enough to talk, we're probably old enough to have gossiped. So I think we all can take something out of this. One of the biggest stumbling blocks for recovering gossipers is they don't even see the harm in what they've done, at least not yet. The gossiper doesn't see any reason for changing their behavior until perhaps they were caught in a tangled web, and they've already caused a fair amount of damage by that point. So what can we all do to get better at controlling our tongues and working against our loose lips? You know, there's an old saying from World War II that loose lips sink ships, and that was a poster that was all around that they put out. But as Christians, we could say loose lips sink friendships. So what are some tools we can use to change? I'll give you seven steps here to change. Tools for change. First is to admit there is a problem. James 3 said that we all have that problem. Every one of us have a problem containing the tongue, to controlling that tongue. So we all do have that problem from one extent to another, everybody here. So we need to admit it, and we need to take that first step to say we have done this and we need to do things to prevent it. Step two is to take a self-examination. Try to figure out the ways, the whens, and the whos. Examine the situation where the problem of gossip has taken place. Take an inventory. Where are you at the time? Who are you with? Do the people like to hear it? Do they contribute to the gossip? And that's not going to take away your personal responsibility. You can't blame it on other people, unfortunately. We can't blame our sins on others. Do they have itchy ears? Do they try to uncover? But we need to try to uncover these patterns of the gossip so that we can start to make some changes. Some of them could be that we need to change our circle of friends. I mean, that's pretty severe, but that's a possibility. If it's something that you're having a hard time with, you might need to be around a new circle of friends. Step number three, take it to God. And by the way, these are not in any special order. You might want to take it to God first. Take it to God. Let him know what you've done wrong to him and to that other person or persons. Ask him to forgive you and to help you build up others and not to tear them down. Ask him for a positive attitude and to focus on the positive in others and not the negative aspects of other people, especially in the house of God. There's so many scriptures on building people up with your words, and it also has a lot of warnings about tearing people down with your words as well in the Bible. But go to God, let him know, and read as many scriptures as you can about building others up. Step number four, go to the person if necessary. You may need to ask for forgiveness. And this is the unpleasant task of damage control, isn't it? This is probably one of the hardest steps to do, is to go to that person. If you take a humble spirit, and that can be very difficult, and admit to that person what you've done, then you might be able to reconcile with them. However, it may be necessary, it might be a necessary step when you hurt or offend the other people. You still might have to do it. Your personal responsibility does not go away. Step number five, maybe you have too much time on your hands. You know, something that I kind of find hard to do nowadays. I just can't fathom that nowadays. But keep busy and don't be a busybody. Busybodies have too much time on their hands. Perhaps they're spending too much time talking with people on the phone or maybe on Facebook or Instagram or whatever it is. And those are great tools in our modern day, but they also can be very destructive tools. Remember, God can take away your free time pretty fast. Time is a gift. Don't squander it on the negative. Let's use our time wisely and don't waste on having to backtrack, having to apologize to others for our wrong words or spending the time saying the wrong words in the first place. Step number six, ask God for more love and compassion for others. The recognition that we need help, we need more love and compassion. It can help us see our shortcomings and start to work on our own problems instead of trying to work on other people's problems for them. It's always easier to see what the other person's faults are than trying to fix our own. You know, we have a hard enough time running our own lives, let alone running everyone else's. Step number seven is humility. True humility will not allow us to permit gossip in our lives. When we're of a true, humble spirit, we're not going to gossip or want to hear it. A humble heart and a humble attitude won't lift yourself up over others. It won't speak badly about others because a humble person sees themselves for who they really are. We look in the mirror and we say, you know what? I've got my own problems. Why am I focusing on other people's and repeating a bad tale about somebody else? True humility should nip gossip in the bud. You know, rehab and recovery is a continual process. We've all fallen, and from time to time, we've all slipped with our tongue and said things that we shouldn't have about each other. But we all need to come out of this negative and bad culture that we live in. I mean, with so much a part of our society, this is just one part of coming out of the world that we're instructed in Revelation 18:4, that we're to come out of this world. You know, we're not a part of this culture. What comes out of our mouth should be different speech. It should be different. It should be positive. It should be joyous. It shouldn't be foul language. It should be a light to people in the world. Ask ourselves, am I building up or am I tearing down the person? Am I being negative about them? Would it hurt that person if what I said ever came back to them? We can begin by having a preventive heart, brethren, by having that soft and pure heart that God wants us to. We should protect our heart in the first place, because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if we're speaking negative and poisonous words, that's coming from our innermost being. It's from our thoughts. It's from what we're thinking. It's from that inner self-talk. Ask God for that pure heart, one that's more loving, more pure, more positive. Unfortunately, brethren, gossip can reveal who we really are. Whether it's speaking it, listening to it, repeating it, and on the other hand, choosing to stop it, choosing to pray about it, choosing to help the person. That's what'll define us. That's what defines us of who we are. And the choice is ours. With God's Spirit, we should want to think the best in others and not jump to the worst conclusions. And that's not to say that we can't discern right from wrong as Christians, because we can. We can discern right from wrong. God's given us the Spirit to discern those things, but that doesn't mean we have to run around and repeat it. Matthew 12:34 says, "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good things and then you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So brethren, when we speak those things, our heart is not in a good place at that time when we're speaking those things. So why do we know this story so well? And again, it's because we've all done this. We've all done it. If we're old enough to speak, we've not said some kind words at times. But they say, as we said earlier, that first step is to admit that we have that problem. You know, some of us are weekend warriors, and some are daily warriors, some are recreational users. Some people just slip with their words from time to time. One of the biggest stumbling blocks for the recovering gossiper is that they don't even see the harm that they're doing to the people. God expects something different from us. He wants us to be different from the gossiping tabloids, from the things that we see on Facebook, and the fast spread of rumor culture that we live in. Reputations can be destroyed in an instant nowadays and can come from pure lies. All of our resources, including our tongue, should be used to glorify God. We're to be building up one another, not tearing each other down. In construction, oftentimes, builders put supports up so that the building doesn't fall when they're in the building process. And that's it. We're all in a building process, brethren. We're supposed to be supporting each other. We're supposed to be those supports. And those supports are a good thing. They don't say things that tear each other down. We should be doing that no matter where we're at, what environment we're in, whether it's at work or church or with our families. It needs to start with positive communication. We're going to be a big support someday in this world. And will God allow the stuff that we're saying today in His kingdom, the things that are being said online, the things that we're sharing with others? 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." So we're supposed to be encouraging and building each other. You know, we might get that temporary high for a time, but it always comes with that hard crash when the high is over. It'll hurt you, and it'll hurt that other person that spread the web of gossip. So what comes next? Once you're discovered, then comes the damage control. And damage control is never fun. It can be very difficult. It can be a very difficult thing. Have you ever had to do damage control? I think we've all had to do damage control, and if we haven't, perhaps we ran from it. But many people avoid taking responsibility in an unsavory circumstance, and it's a hard thing to do. You should never try to avoid the damage control. You should try to heal a situation. But in order to do that, what we want to do is prevent things in the first place. We want to take that preventive action by using those steps, the seven steps I provided earlier. So let's see what God says. I'm going to read some quick scriptures here, what he says about gossip and the tongue. I'm just going to read through here, so you can jot them down. Psalm 141, verse 3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Job 4, 4, your words have upheld him who was stumbling, and you have made firm the feeble knees. So your words can make your brother strong. Those are positive words. Ephesians 4, 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Proverbs 15, 3, the eyes of the Lord are on every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Proverbs 25, 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Proverbs 16, 24, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. My last scripture is Proverbs 18, 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. There's a tasty fruit that gives life. Let's eat that good fruit, that tasty fruit that God instructs us to live by, speaking good words about another. Gossip has its fruits as well.